This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio, live on Liberty News Radio Network. I'm calling from somewhere in Virginia because the Metropolitan Police Department blocked off all roads going towards downtown D.C. Well, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good up here, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing outstanding.
Wonderful.
Right. Well, we have a long way to go, short time to get there. James Edwards and Jim Lancey did a great job. Let's keep up the fight. First, we need to remember those members of the law enforcement community that were murdered in the line of duty. First, we want to remember Sergeant Stephen Williams, the Moody, Alabama Police Department, and the watch, June 2nd, 2020. His killer is in custody. Also, Waldis Johnson, Detroit, Michigan Police Department, end of watch, May 31st, 2020. He was shot on April 30th, 2017, and succumbed to his injuries. His killer is DOA. Officer Nathan Leday of the Ogden, Utah Police Department, end of watch, May 28th, 2020. His killer is DOA. And Police Officer Cody Holt of the Grand Forks, North Dakota Police Department's end of watch, May 27th, 2020. His killer is alive but in custody. Well, we all know what happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This gentleman, George Floyd, was placed in handcuffs over a questionable counterfeit currency or counterfeit forged check. He was placed in cuffs, put on the ground. Then Officer Derek Chauvin put his knee on his neck, and 8.5 minutes later, he was no longer with us. We've seen this time and time and time and time again. But here's some things that nobody is mentioning. Officer Chauvin and Mr. Floyd used to work together at the same club.
Yeah, I heard that.
Right. So they know each other. And so another thing is that there's something that we're not being told, because we see video clips that's been on TV over and over and over and over again ad nauseum. We see George Floyd in cuffs, and he's walking over to the patrol car, and next thing you know, he's on the ground with a knee on his neck. We don't know what happened. They won't tell us what happened. So, anyways, there's something that they're not telling us that might possibly justify Officer Chauvin's action. I don't know.
I saw a video that I saw for the first time. And it was taken from above. The driver's side of the vehicle at an angle where you could see the driver's side of the vehicle and the front end of the vehicle. Okay. There was two officers on the passenger side back door with the door open, and two officers on the driver's side with the back door open. And the van was, you know, rocking, you know, like the vehicle was rocking, like, you know, that sign used to say, the vehicle's rocking, don't come a knocking. And you can't see what's going on because of the tinted windows, and it was in the back seat from above. But the vehicle was shaking and rocking. The two officers were on either side of the vehicle, one leaning in one side and one leaning in the other. And it looked like Mr. Floyd was in custody, you know, inside the back of the R&B. Now,
right.
Then you saw the white police officer come from the passenger side around the back, and he kind of went halfway in. Now, I don't know. And then it cut off, of course. You know, you don't see what happened before. You don't see what happened after. Well, you wouldn't have been able because of the angle. But
right.
Apparently, Floyd was in the vehicle. And, you know, just speculation. It appeared that he was resisting arrest. He was trying to kick his way out. And things escalated to the point of his death. So, it, you know, like I said about that situation in the Carolinas with the two former sheriffs killing the so-called jogger. This one.
Oh, yeah, Georgia.
Georgia. This is another one that's going to be sticky. Not because of the nonsense, you know, the rioting and all that other crap. That's got nothing to do with what happened that day. The court isn't going to address the riots and everything like that. The court is only going to address what happened and how it may have happened and why it happened. So, you know, until all the video is made available to the public, which people are screaming for, but, you know, it's evidence. They're not going to show you their evidence, what they have. That's the whole point of having a trial. So it's going to be sticky. I'm going to wait for the outcome of the trial, and we'll see what happens. Either way, you know, unless these officers take a plea bargain, either way, this is going to be a train wreck again. If they're acquitted, it's going to be a train wreck. If they're found guilty, it's going to be a train wreck. If they plea out, it's going to be a train wreck. There is no winning situation for either side because people want justice. And, you know, they actually do not know what the meaning of the word justice is when they speak about getting justice. Justice is accepting the outcome of a trial, whether you like it or not. That's justice. It's going to be sticky. So that video came out. I saw it, I think it was last night. So what happened has nothing to do with the riots in a court of law. It's going to be completely separate.
Right. And people are screaming for justice, but Chauvin and the four officers, they were immediately fired. Chauvin was arrested and charged with second-degree murder. The other three officers were charged with aiding and abetting in the murder. And what's really mind-blowing is that for two of the cops, it was like the third day on the job. They're rookie cops, just graduated police academy. But anyways, we're just getting warmed up, talking about the George Floyd mess and Black Lives Matter and all that other foolishness. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back talking about the George Floyd Black Lives Matter fiasco. Okay, the anti-cop, anti-Christian, anti-American Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, Keith Ellison, overcharged before, obviously. It went from Officer Chauvin was charged with third-degree murder to second-degree murder, which has a higher threshold in terms of intent. But we've seen this before back in 1999 with the two cops, four cops with the street crime unit, shot Amadou Diallo up in the Bronx. They charged him with first-degree murder by overzealous cop-hating Bronx DA Robert Johnson, and they got off. Also, if you remember, in Florida, Sanford, Florida, George Zimmerman, they charged him with murder, and he was found not guilty. But question is, who is George Floyd besides that famous man that was died on television? He was a 46-year-old man who moved out from Minnesota from Texas. He had numerous run-ins in the law, including a 2007 armed robbery conviction where he pointed a gun at the fetus of a pregnant female, and he died. The original autopsy report said Floyd had hearty amounts of fentanyl and methamphetamines, and which caused a heart arrhythmia, which was a determining cause of his passing. Meanwhile, a second autopsy was performed by a family doctor who said that he died because of a strangulation and a broken neck, and it was a homicide. So I don't know who to believe. Coroner who had no dog in the fight, or a second coroner who was hired by the family. Walt, what say you about the Mr. Floyd in his past?
You know, these things are coming out, in dribs and drabs, as they say. In order to have the truth about his past, you know, one is going to have to watch the trial. There's probably a billion George Floyds, men with the name George Floyd in the world. He's done 5 years. He's done, 4 months for various crimes, robbery, breaking and entering, stealing a car, so it's hard to say. Now, that's not a reason for the man to die. And, you know, I always try to get my point across, and sometimes it doesn't, my delivery isn't as good as, you know, as it should be. People say, well, the cops shouldn't have done that. Okay, well, maybe Mr. Floyd shouldn't have put himself in the position to begin with by, you know, trying to pass off a $20 counterfeit bill or a bad check, whatever the heck it was. And then we wouldn't be in this mess. So, you know, it doesn't start with the police. Now, they're calling for racial this and racial that. The man didn't die because he was black. We don't know why the man died. You know, the white cop knew the man for 17 years, apparently. They worked, you know, in a security in a club somewhere in Minnesota. And, you know, they knew each other. We don't know if they liked each other. We don't know if they got along with each other. There might have been a history there. But, you know, the point that I'm trying to make is that it wasn't racially motivated. And according to statistics put out by, Fox News, that there were last year in 2019, 19 white males were killed by police in the line of duty, and there were 9 black males killed by police in the line of duty. And now it didn't give specifics whether it was gunfire or you know, running them off the road because they were trying to, but those were the statistics. So why didn't we have 9 different sets of riots and protests in 2019?
We can't
get away from the racial nonsense that people insist just, you know, he's white, he's black, you know, and in the reverse, it's not that nothing happens. The course of justice takes its course. And then we find out 2 years later if the person was guilty or not, or died or was murdered or what. So it's going to be a couple of years unless they cop a plea.
Right. But anyways, let's move right along. Some other characters in this fight, the police, not the Minneapolis police, but police in general from across the country. They've been fighting with one hand tied behind their back. But now, while you and I both know police departments are run by politicians, and despite what's happening in Buffalo and Tacoma and Minneapolis and other places, the cops are being held back. For example, the 5th Precinct in Minneapolis, guess what? Was overrun and burned because the mayor said let it burn. But in our old job, the New York City Police Department, the chief of department, Terrence Monahan, was at a protest, and he took a knee with the protesters. Then right after that, he spoke to the press like he was George Patton about to chase the Germans right into Berlin, and it was just pathetic. But not to be outdone, cops in Philadelphia were told to take a knee by some of their bosses. And other cops were also taking a knee as well. This is as the nation burns. And these people at these protests, either the ones that are not doing harm or doing harm, they hate the cops. They hate white, and they especially hate white cops. And then other cops were seen at different departments around the country doing some stupid inner-city line dance, doing the Macarena, just being a total, total in embarrassment. And then meanwhile, one cop back in New York is lucky to be alive as some individual struck him in the back of the head with a blunt instrument. And I say this cop is lucky to be alive because the cop was wearing his helmet. And if you look in the videotape, you hear a thud. And then an officer saw what happened and drew his weapon. But again, the media just shows that the officer drawing his weapon. Now, the reason why he's drawing the weapon, because he saw one of his superiors get whacked in the head. Another cop, 3 cops in Brooklyn. One got stabbed in the neck, and the perp took his gun and shot 2 other cops. And barely a mention about that. And then we have another cop in the Bronx was assaulted by numerous individuals. And in the same night, you had a cop in front of the 404 precinct get run over by a bunch of degenerates. And this is happening all over New York. You also have people stopping RMPs responding to calls, people playing with the cops, and where the media show just, you know, with the bad the cops are doing. Walt, what say you about the state of policing in America?
There's no respect from it from top to bottom. You hit the nail on the head. You know, they're ordered. They have orders not to engage. And yet they have people in their face. I mean, really invading their space, right up in their face, screaming at them, calling them, you know, all kinds of names, and telling them that they're cowards, do something. You can't do nothing, can you? Can't do nothing. You know, it's antagonizing. But when you're under orders to not engage, you don't engage. Unless, of course, you know, there's some type of physical issue that the person puts upon a police officer. It was a couple of weeks ago. It looked like one of the idiots in some other protest in some other city some weeks ago touched the officer's AK-47, and the officer knocked him out with a left hook. So these things are these cops are under orders not to do anything. And it sucks. It sucks.
Right, and that's why in New York City you have 6 cops a day resigning. Not retiring, resigning. Well, anyways, when we come back, we'll talk about the protests and politicians, how they're pouring more gas on the fire. This is 75 Radio Live talking about George Floyd. Visit us at 75radio.org. The number 75, the word radio.org. Take it away, boys.
Listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to see the energy of the protests following the in-custody death of George Floyd in Minneapolis put into definitive actions.
New York should pass what we call the Say Their Name reform agenda.
The proposed law would make police officers' disciplinary records transparent, definitively ban police chokeholds, make false race-based 911 calls a hate crime, and codify that the state attorney general must act as an independent prosecutor for all police murder cases. With huge protests in Washington, D.C., the Pentagon told National Guardsmen deployed in the Capitol not to use firearms or ammunition. Also, Defense Secretary Mark Esper ordered the remaining active duty soldiers who'd been on standby in the D.C. area back to their home base. This is USA Radio News.
They call it the new censorship. Social media companies like Facebook, Twitter, Google, and YouTube are being criticized for banning political messages or stories that discuss alternative treatments for the coronavirus. One big media company is even asking Twitter to ban President Trump. Now, Newsmax TV is asking the tough questions about the dangers to our freedoms. With the 2020 election coming, watch Newsmax TV's special reports from Sean Spicer all this week exposing the threats to free speech. Each weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, Sean Spicer tackles the big issues on Newsmax TV, America's fastest-growing cable news channel. Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems, DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Spectrum, Cox, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Mediacom, Armstrong, and more. Watch Newsmax TV and see great shows with Michelle Malkin, Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Alan Dershowitz, and Herman Cain. Check your cable guide and get Newsmax TV. It's real news for real people.
Former Vice President Joe Biden has formally clinched the Democratic presidential nomination following Tuesday's presidential primaries. Biden took on President Trump over his Rose Garden comments, suggesting George Floyd would think it was a great day in terms of equality. Touting better-than-expected May employment figures, President Trump connected that to George Floyd's death.
Hopefully George is looking down right now and saying there's a great thing that's happening for our country.
Former Vice President Joe Biden responded to the president.
George Floyd's last words, "I can't breathe," have echoed all across this nation and, quite frankly, around the world. For the president to try to put any other words in the mouths of George Floyd, I frankly think is despicable.
John Hopkins University finds new cases of COVID-19 are now rising faster worldwide. For the past week, there's been over 100,000 cases a day. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Of course, I'm still listening, Mr. Edwards. We're talking about the fiasco known as the George Floyd death, Black Lives Matter riot, and just show it garbage. But anyways, talk about the next group of players on the chessboard, the protesters. These people just need to shut the hell up, including Governor Murray, Andrew Cuomo, son of Il Supremo Mario Cuomo. During news break, he was talking some trash, talking about the Attorney General for the state of New York being an independent prosecutor for cops that charged with killing somebody. She needs just to shut the hell up, because the Attorney General is not going to be impartial. He's not going to be fair. He's going to be like Bronx District Attorney Robert Johnson back in the day. But anyways, these officers were fired, arrested, and charged. They will answer for their charges. Our criminal justice system is not perfect, but it's the best that we have at this time on the planet. But these people say Black Lives Matter. Well, but guess what? If you go somewhere and say White Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter, Yellow Lives Matter, various color, mixed race lives matter, guess what? You'll be shouted down. These people care about Black lives. They wouldn't be worried about the 19 people that died last year, or Mr. Floyd, or a couple other people that were involved in the situation. They would be marching in the street of Chicago, Detroit, Flint, Newark, Baltimore, every other ghetto in America, which is predominantly Black, believe it or not, and screaming every night that young Black men stop shooting and killing young Black men and old people and toddlers and so on and so forth. And what's really interesting is that when you hear a child get murdered by a stray bullet in a crossfire between two people in the hood, and they have teddy bears, balloons, they have a candlelight vigil to say, oh, the violence must stop, and then it's business as usual. But, you know, a situation like George Floyd or Mike Brown, and these people are just off the chain. Also involved is Antifa, which is a well-funded terrorist organization. Their only mission is anarchy. I hear it pays well, because supposedly there's ads on Craigslist saying they're going to pay these people $200 a day. But these people are a gang, because you know, you're either going to end up in jail or end up dead, or people are going to find out where you really work and you're going to lose your livelihood. Then you have the opportunists, the looters, people stealing Nikes, Gucci, accessories, sunglasses, brassieres, booze, and other things to protest police brutality. Well, what say you about these just group of losers?
I have no respect for anyone that took this man's death and decided to start smashing, looting, and burning shit down. Excuse my French. This was supposed to be an immediate confrontation with the establishment. What happened was they just took it as a way to show what they're really made of. And it's black, it's white, it's yellow, it's all mixed. It happens to be the majority of the Black neighborhoods that have done this to their own neighborhoods. You know, they had a Target, and they had a Kroger, and they had a Walmart. Now they don't have that no more. They don't have an oil parts store anymore. They don't have pawn shops anymore. They don't have liquor stores anymore. And they're mad, and they get worse. And then people around the country saying, well, I want to be supportive of that. And they go ahead and they do it in their own neighborhood. Now, you know, 40 years from now, these 20-year-olds are going to say, yeah, I was there in 2020, and they didn't do anything about it. Government was awful. Trump was awful. They got to get it. They should have gotten it stopped some kind of way. But that's what you're hearing now. Stop the racism. Stop it. You know, something's got to be done about it. So what did they do? They burn up their own neighborhood. What's going wrong with these people?
Right.
So there's no respect for these people. Even the people that are protesting this George Floyd, I don't have a lot of respect for them because it doesn't appear to me that they're doing it for the correct reasons.
Right.
You know, we had a march here in my local town tonight. It was peaceful between 5 and 7. I didn't go. I just followed it online. But, you know, this is Southern Tennessee. You know, I wanted to know when the Winchester Police Department last time had a brutality charge. Why do you? I don't get it.
Right.
I don't get it.
Yep. And while, you know, the people who I really detest as much as the looters and the people burning stuff and things like that are these guilty white liberals. I mean, they're the biggest bunch of hypocrites because they'll sit there arm in arm singing Kumbaya, wearing these Black Lives Matter, bring these signs, wearing the T-shirts and screaming and protesting. That's fine in Washington, D.C. But guess what? They don't live in these neighborhoods. They don't shop in these neighborhoods. They don't spend money in these neighborhoods. They, you know, once, like in D.C. today, once they're done, guess what? They're getting their cars and run across the Potomac River into Arlington, Fairfax counties, Alexandria City, or going up to Maryland to Montgomery County. And once these people get a little bit older, they're sure as hell not going to let their kids attend the same school as these black people. They're not going to go to D.C. public schools. They're not going to go to these inner city schools or the big city schools because the schools frankly suck because, again, they're run by Democrats. I'd never let my kids go to a New York City public schools. I wouldn't let my kids go to D.C. public schools. But, you know, that's why these white people, these white leftists, they say, oh, why do you live out here in the burbs? Like, oh, because of the schools, because they don't want to bring their kids to failing inner city dangerous school full of black people. Anything else about these idiots burning stuff down, including churches?
No respect. No respect. I mean, they defaced the Lincoln Memorial, for God's sake. You know, the man who freed their ancestors that, you know, that they're crying over that happened, you know, started 300 years ago. So they defaced the man that the remembrance of the man that freed their ancestors. Yeah, no respect for them. I have no respect.
Right. And so now, which brings us to the next piece of the puzzle or players on the chessboard, the politicians. Politicians, just nothing but enablers, the supporters. Mayors and governors refuse to let the cops do their job, refuse to call in the National Guard. Donald Trump calls in the National Guard and active duty troops to back up Secret Service and the local police departments, including the Metropolitan Police Department here in D.C. And then the awful mayor of the District of Columbia, Mario Bowser, who told by a source that her protected detail just actually deplore her because she deplores them, treats them like trash, told the troops to leave D.C. You know, Donald Trump says, all right, I'm going to bring the National Guard because MPD, my Secret Service, are just overrun. So I'm going to bring in, you know, the troops. And the mayor says, hey, you're not welcome there. Go bounce. And then what's even worse that she had a street renamed that leads right up the White House on 16th Street Northwest called Black Lives Matter Plaza. And then she's had the city employees along with volunteers paint in big black letters, Black Lives Matter. Well, what do you think would happen if Mayor Whitey McWhiteface in Whitelandia decided to say, hey, we're going to rename 16th Street White Lives Matter, and we're painting right in the middle of the street. What do you think would happen?
God forbid, you know, it'd be defaced.
Right.
Defaced.
Right. And that mayor would be tarred and feathered, but, you know, this is what happens in D.C. And not to be outdone, sucky Mayor Eric Garcetti from Los Angeles wants to cut $150 million, which is almost 10% of the entire LAPD budget, to spend the money in communities of color. So now if Mayor Whitey McWhiteface said, hey, I'm going to take 10% of the police budget and put it in white neighborhoods, again, he'd be tarred and feathered. But that's That's what you have. And then the Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, who's originally from Oakland, Virginia, he was at the memorial service of George Floyd and knelt down and cried at the casket. Despite Mayor Frey never knew the guy, never met the guy, had no connection with the guy until he saw it on TV. And Mayor Frey was giving out masks for protesters so they wouldn't get coronavirus. And he's the one that told the cops to stand down, let these protesters just burn down this city, loot Target, and we're coming our next commercial. So, I mean, these people absolutely suck. But coming up next, we're going to talk about the media and hopefully enough time about a victim of the Black Lives Matter foul movement. Stay tuned, everybody.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Hey, Mr. Edward. We're back about the George Floyd fiasco. America's burning. Thanks to a final group of guilty people, the media. These people are the biggest agent provocateurs that exposed America to the same clip of George Floyd on the ground for days ad nauseum. And then you have, once the city started burning, you had the Viacom people, which own MTV, Nickelodeon Junior, and the Paramount Network put stuff out on the airwaves during last Sunday's episode of Bar Rescue, which is the cash cow for the Paramount Network. Paramount lets everyone know that they support Blue Lives Matter. Then on MTV and Nickelodeon Junior, for 8.5 minutes, you just hear heavy breathing and the words "I can't breathe." So it's not like the media's trying to brainwash us. And then the networks refuse to call these rioters, thugs, degenerates, just pieces of trash. CNN refused to criticize the people or call them what they are, as they're trying to break into and storm and breach CNN world headquarters in Atlanta. They didn't know what to do, because here's people at CNN trying to break into the building, and they just refused to call them like thugs. And anyways, the media spent time showing the cops taking care of business, because the cities are burning. And especially New York's finest, they're doing what they do best, take care of business. But of course, it's, you know, God forbid you raise your hand or punch somebody in the face because they're invading your space or you feel threatened. So they're not calling people, they're not calling looters, not calling arsonists, and so on and so forth. You know, these people set fire to a church in downtown Washington, D.C., across the street from the White House. So what does the media do? They criticize the people set fire to one of God's houses? No. They criticize Trump, who after a press conference on the White House lawn, said, "I'm going someplace that's special to me," and walked right across the street for a photo opportunity. I said, good for him. So, I mean, it's more of the same. We saw it with Rodney King. We saw it with the four cops up in the Bronx. We saw it with Mike Brown. We saw it with Trayvon Martin. We saw it with what's his name up in Baltimore, Freddie Gray. We saw it with Eric Garner. So, and we saw it in Georgia. I think Mr. Avery in Georgia must have came back from the dead. What say you about the media in this whole debacle?
The media is just trying to brainwash people that have fallen into this insecurity of being so brazen as far as exercising their First Amendment rights. You know, the freedom of assembly has limits. The freedom of speech has limits. And people don't realize. They just, well, I can say whatever I want. Well, no, you can't. Not really. You can't. You know, and it's uneducated people from the 90s who have raised their children uneducated and are falling into the same boat. And it's going to get worse. Why is it going to get worse? Because there's more of them. Each and every year, there's more and more morons being born that are going to turn out as stupid as their parents. And, of course, this is going to be more reflective back in, you know, in the Detroit in the 60s, the racial discrimination nonsense in the 60s. And, you know, that was a movement that was by a man who kept things together. So they disrespected Martin Luther King's memory. You know, what they're doing just is not only wrong, it doesn't make sense. There's ways to do this, and nobody wants to wait these days to get something done. You know, how many people go in front of Congress? It takes them 6 years to get in front of Congress because they faced some type of a personal dilemma because of a government issue, and then they're finally heard. These people want it right there on the street. You know, I posted today that, you know, when an officer detains you or says you're under arrest, there is no, I'm not. You don't have a choice. That's why there's a process. Like you said earlier, it's not perfect, but that's what we have. Now, all the millions and millions of people that have been protesting, okay, what's the answer? You say it's got to be fixed some type of way, some kind of way. Well, okay, well, what's your answer? Give it all to the Democrats. because what you saw in COVID, that's what you're going to be getting. That's what you're going to get. They're going to lock you down. They're going to take everything away from you, and you can't do anything. They're going to control you with money. They're going to put everybody on a fixed income that isn't working, which falls where? Right where we know it's going to fall. And then they're going to control you people. They're going to control those people. That's why you have too much damn crime and nonsense going on in the world. They're robbing each other. Nobody wants to do anything about it. I mean, that doesn't bother me. I don't live in Chicago. So that's Chicago's problem. I don't live in New York anymore. You know, it's a New York problem. You know, if it happens in my area, yeah, I'll stand up for it. But I don't want somebody standing up for what I believe in that's from Chicago.
Right. But that's what they want. They want the people from the big urban cities, New York, Chicago, L.A., to tell the rest of us what to do. But, we got a couple minutes. The worst part about this whole situation happened in St. Louis. A 77-year-old man named David Dorn retired from the St. Louis Metro PD and was a chief with another department. He was at a friend's pawn shop, defending the pawn shop from looters. And a couple of you-know-whats from the hood, a couple of Black Lives Matter supporters, a couple of Obama's sons that look like him, came in and shot this man over a television. And so this poor man is, and his death was on social media. Somebody had a phone and was videotaping the last moments of this poor man's life. And nobody rendered aid. And from what it looked like he was shot in the back. I didn't see any entrance wounds from the front. And nobody from CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, local news, network news, New York Times, Huffington Post spoke about this. Of course, it's the right-wing bloggers and podcasters and so on and so forth talked about this poor man. His name was David Dorn, 77 years old. He had left a wife, 5 kids, 10 grandchildren, shot and killed over a television set by a bunch of vicious Negroes. And Floyd Mayweather hasn't offered to pay for the funeral. Jack Proposick, he started a GoFundMe, which raised over $200,000. But you don't hear his name. Nobody was marching in D.C. for this man. This man dedicated his life for the betterment of society. And he was helping somebody save his property. But a couple of people want to take advantage over a television, and a bunch of black people shot another black people over Black Lives Matter, over the situation of George Floyd. But this is what we're dealing with. And, you know, when we mention anything about it, guess what? We're called every name in the book. I say, so what? Any last thoughts about the situation for Captain Floyd?
It's just going to continue. It's going to continue, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. And when it gets better, it's going to go back again because there's going to be an outcome to this George Floyd case. So, you know, right now it is what it is. Protect what you got.
Right, exactly. And then somebody from Antifa said, we ought to go out to the suburbs. Well, guess what, people? The people in the suburbs, only the liberals in the suburbs are shaking and worried about these people leaving the cities for the suburbs. Everybody else, guess what? They are locked and loaded. People are going to social media showing how they're going to be defending themselves. Our buddy Joe Johnson down in Florida, he's got a picture of his rifle with a nice scope and a grip. So people, they're almost praying that this happens because they're sick and tired of it. Well, guess what? They're going to stay in the Democratic-controlled cities and just let them burn. And you know what? In my opinion, Marion Bowser is probably worse than Marion Barry. And, you know, Mary Barry, you know, he was a terrible mayor. And guess what? My issue with Barry doesn't start with his Kim Kretz smoking.
Come and see me.
With a lady. Good.
Come to the suburbs. I'll make you famous.
Right. All right, well, we made it for another week. Stay safe out there. All right, everybody, this is Peter Scoop Stanton. Visit us at 75radio.org. That's the number, 75radio.org. All right, please be safe, everybody. See you next week.
James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.